Beautiful, isn't it? That's just plain old congregational a cappella singing without musical accompaniment. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Before the next song, we'd like to tell you this program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ, 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226, USA. And visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. The churches of Christ are those local, autonomous, self-governing congregations you read about in Romans 16:16. We're neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old vanilla Bible-believing Christians. We're reaching the unchurched for Christ worldwide by radio at the same time and station every Sunday. So why don't you come into fellowship with us? You can simply assemble in the freedom of your own home if you live in a country that's not free or there's no Church of Christ near you. Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. You don't need the approval from anyone to worship God through Jesus Christ. Five things compose worship. You can sing, study the Bible, learn to preach, take the Lord's Supper, pray, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor of your own community anywhere in the world. Visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. And be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. And why don't you visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. For free downloads of great a cappella singing, hundreds of sermons, advanced Bible studies, and 1,000 links, please tell a friend about our website and our broadcast time. Now we offer you this a cappella singing, which is four-part harmony without musical instruments, so that you can hear what we believe singing in the Spirit in heaven is surely like.
Thank you. Good morning, church. It is a joy to be in the house of God. What a privilege it is to come into his presence and to be still and know that he is God. He is enthroned. He is King of kings and Lord of lords, even in the midst of this evil generation and time. And so I'd like to ask, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer here in a minute, if you would approach with me. I want to give some good news regarding Afghanistan. We've been praying as a church for the Christians who are suffering in Afghanistan, and particularly there's been a family that I have come to know recently, and they have been in the most dire and desperate situation. Different members of that family have even been arrested by the Taliban. Their lives have been threatened, and by the grace and mercy of God, they have been able to escape the country, and they're in a safe house right now. And so God still does miracles today, and he hears the prayers of his church. And so we want to praise him for that. And so let's approach our Father in prayer. Father, there's no greater privilege to assemble in your presence, in your house, Father, to rejoice, to praise you, to look to Christ and his work of redemption and the grace that is freely offered based on his death, burial, and resurrection. Father, we thank you for your kindness that you answer prayers. We thank you that you have heard our prayers regarding this family we've been praying for in Afghanistan. And Father, we plead for the body that is being persecuted around the world and in Afghanistan. Particularly, Father, we just continue to lift them up to you. We pray, Lord, for the brokenness in this community, Father. We pray for the homeless and the rich alike who need your grace and need your mercy, Father. Would you look to this congregation and would you forgive our sins, Father? Would you give us strength? Would you help us to arise, to grow, to flourish, to bear fruit for you? Bless this time, Father, that we assemble into your presence. Come and be with us. Help me, Father. I'm not worthy. Give me grace. Give me strength to proclaim how wonderful you are. It's through Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to be continuing this morning in the 8th chapter of Romans. I believe that this chapter, without a doubt, has got to be one of the most important chapters in the whole of the New Testament. In the 8th chapter, we get a beautiful, detailed description of what it is to live the Christian life and to walk according to the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to begin with Romans chapter 8, and we're going to continue in the 9th verse. Romans 8, verse 9. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. Yet again, there is an attempt by the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul to make a division between the unconverted and the converted, between the goats and the sheep. Paul specifies with clarity that the Holy Spirit is the separating factor as to whether or not we belong to Christ. Paul has given us in the 7th chapter a personal testimony of what it was like for him to be spiritually dead, to be a slave to sin, to be unconverted, to not have the ability within himself to follow the law of Christ. Here in the book of Romans, like in Galatians chapter 5, Paul makes a contrast between living according to the sinful nature and living according to the Spirit. And so the prophet Ezekiel is given a very fascinating vision in the 37th chapter of Ezekiel. The Lord gives him this rather interesting vision of a valley of dry bones. And it's the Lord that speaks to him and asks, are these bones able to live? And Ezekiel's puzzled. He responds by saying, Lord, you only know. And then he begins to see this wonderful vision that is a type and a representation of all the New Testament blessings which are going to be poured out through Christ and the giving of the Holy Spirit, where these dead individuals, which represent the spiritual dead, the Spirit of the Lord breathes upon them and they receive life and they're raised from the dead. And what an image this is that the Lord reveals to this prophet to contrast what it is to be dead and what it is to be made alive in the Spirit. And this is precisely what happens when we become a child of God. The Spirit of the living God breathes upon us. Just like in the creation of the world, we become a living new creation. And so many times as we study the Bible, it's easy to get distracted. It's easy to major upon the minors. Sometimes I think it's easy to view the Scripture like a portrait. And so our job is to look at the face of Jesus Christ, to behold Him, to see the big picture. And sometimes it's easy for us to get distracted with controversies and small details on the fringe of religion. And so this morning, and especially as we study this most important of chapters, we want to ask practical questions. We want to ask, how might we receive this Holy Spirit? If this is a salvational issue, we need to know how to receive the Holy Spirit. We need to know how to walk according to the Holy Spirit. Many times, maybe we hear sermons and people say, you need to walk according to the Spirit. You need to walk according to the Spirit. But it's important to ask the simple question, how do we walk according to the Spirit? And also, what does this look like? And so, I would like to spend the remainder of our time trying to answer some of these basic questions. And first, I want to answer for us, what does it look like to walk according to the Spirit? To live according to the Spirit is to have a positive hunger and affection for God and His cause in the world. And ultimately, above all, to live according to the Spirit is to be like Jesus Christ. Peter puts it this way in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. He says, His divine power has granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers in the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. So to be in the Holy Spirit is to be a partaker of the divine nature. It is to partake in the very nature of Jesus Christ. This nature is directly opposed to what Peter terms here the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. And so when we receive the Holy Spirit, we are made like Jesus Christ and we walk opposite to the evil passions which are in the world. The Apostle John continues to reaffirm this idea in 1 John 2:6. He says, whoever abides in Him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. And so this is what it is to be a participant in the divine nature. We too live the same way that Jesus lived. We walk in the same footsteps in which Jesus walked. To be a Christian is not merely to admire Christ, is the most significant man to live, is this greatest of all teachers, and to admire him from afar, but we too must participate with Christ. We are called to imitate him. This is what it is to walk according to the Spirit. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he is contrasting the spiritual man with the unspiritual. He says that the spiritual man has the mind of Christ. This suggests that those that have the Spirit are able to comprehend spiritual truth. To the unspiritual man, the righteousness of God is folly. The words of Jesus Christ, which are spirit, the law of God, is foolishness. This wisdom that is from above, it's just that. It's from another world. They reject it. They do not accept these teachings. But the spiritual man, he accepts this wisdom that is from above, and he also has been given power to walk according to these laws. He has been made obedient from the heart by the Holy Spirit. Look here at Jesus Christ and what was his desire. He says to his disciples in John 4:34, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." We see in Christ that his spiritual desire was so strong that it even subdued lesser desires. This is what happens when we walk according to the divine nature. With the limited time that we have here this morning, if we were to distill and to try to put in a few amount of words what it looks like to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I believe that it would be fair to say that the chief evidence for the one who possesses the Holy Spirit is that this one has love for God. If you remember in Romans 5, verse 5, we read that God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. We understand in Galatians 5:22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love." And so it is love in the believer that is the greatest evidence that someone has the Holy Spirit. And I want to help to describe here the significance of this. Matthew 22, beginning in verse 37, we read these words, "And he said to him, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the law and the prophets.'" And so here we have just read the single greatest commandment in the whole of Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation. It is the love of God, number one, and it is the love of man. And how fascinating it is that when the love of God is poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, when we receive the Spirit of love, we fulfill all that God has ever said. And so this is the significance, this is the need that we have the Holy Spirit in order to be saved. Those that have the Spirit, those who walk according to the Spirit, they are the ones that are pleasing to God because they walk in love towards God and towards their brothers. And so we have seen what it is to walk according to the Spirit. Now I want to ask a very practical question. How do we walk according to the Spirit? It needs to first be said that when we talk about walking according to the Spirit, it must not be reduced to mere decisionism. Let me give you an example. A fish may desire to fly. A fish may gather around some of his fish friends, and they may sit around in a group, and they may all talk about their desire to fly. However, unless there is some sort of act of God, unless there's a miracle, unless their nature is fundamentally transformed, these fish by nature will never fly. A blind man may desire to see. However, apart from a divine healing, he will never see. The Apostle Paul, in the process of his conversion, the Bible says of this process that something like scales fell from his eyes. This is an outward sign of an inward demonstration of what God is doing in the heart to recreate this man, to allow this man who is spiritually blind to have supernatural sight by the power of God. A Pharisee named Saul of Tarsus may desire to fulfill the righteousness of God. He may channel all of his being towards this end, yet the Scripture still says the following: not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Paul in Romans 7:19, again, he says, the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. This mighty man, this greatest of all religious sages, this individual with all of his strength could not be obedient from the heart apart from the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit, apart from the new birth. A preacher cannot help you to follow this law of Christ. Bad trees cannot produce good fruit. We are now introduced to the Christian doctrine of regeneration, which states that believers must be born again in order to fulfill the righteous requirements of the law. Jesus has a discussion with one of Israel's teachers in the third chapter of John. And he, in the fifth verse, says these words: truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. These words are just as true today as they were when Jesus originally spoke them. This truth cannot be overemphasized in our pulpits today. An old English minister was once asked by a reporter, why is it that you keep on insisting that you must be born again? This is all you ever preach about. And so, in response, the old minister said, because you must be born again. The Hollywood actor Matthew McConaughey has recently written a very popular New York Times bestseller. The title of this work is Green Lights. And in this book, he proudly shares that he has learned that it's possible to go to church without needing to be born again. And this is the darkness which plagues our country today. This is the wisdom that is from below. And I don't know about you, but as for me in my house, I'll stick with what Jesus said and what Paul said and these old-time preachers. It is clear that the way that we receive the Holy Spirit, it is through conversion. We must be born of water and the Spirit. We must die. We must be buried. We must be raised again. We must have the Holy Spirit be given to come inside of our hearts. And so to further answer this question of how we walk according to this divine nature, I'd like to continue in Romans 8, beginning in verse 12. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. In this text, there is no room for discussion or alternative views. The apostle is very clear. If you live according to the flesh, if you are not born again, you will die. And those who live according to the sinful nature are under the wrath of God. Paul says the very same thing in Galatians chapter 5, verse 24. He says, "And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." This is something which Paul expects these Roman Christians to be able to do by the Holy Spirit, to be able to put to death these fleshly desires. It is through this desire for the law of God, it is through this power, it is through this new birth that we have the ability to overcome these lesser principles of the world. I want to emphasize this morning that the Holy Spirit is for you, and the Holy Spirit is for me. So many times when we read the Scripture and we read about such precious promises, such as the giving of the Holy Spirit, our mind automatically thinks that these blessings are for people that lived a long time ago in a far and distant land, or maybe the Holy Spirit is just reserved for those that we find in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. But the Scripture could not be more clear that the gift of the Holy Spirit is for you and it is for me. It is for today. It is for right now. Let me give you a few scriptures. Galatians chapter 3, verse 14. "So that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith." Here we have a picture of how we receive the Holy Spirit. It is to be received by faith. This is a part of how we receive the Holy Spirit. And notice this very important word, that this is the promised Holy Spirit. It was promised to Abraham. It was spoken beforehand, and it was promised for us, and we have the ability to receive it by faith. And a promise in Scripture is more sure than the ground that we stand on right now, that supports us right now. This is something that we can know for certain, that as God has said it, surely it will come to pass, and we can take this promise to the bank. Joel 2:28. A wonderful text, which is also quoted in Acts chapter 2, and its fulfillment is the day of Pentecost. Joel 2:28 says, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall see dreams, and your young men shall see visions." And so notice here what it says, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. You are under that category of all flesh. This promise is for you, and this is the desire of God the Father and of Christ under this new covenant, to pour out the gift of the Holy Spirit on all flesh. Luke 11, verse 13, tells us the following. Jesus says, If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? What a faith-building text this is. If a child might come to his evil father with boldness and ask for basic needs, for food, and if he has assurance to know that his father will not withhold that provision but will give to him, we have boldness and we have confidence to approach the Creator of the universe, God our Father, through Jesus Christ. We may ask, and it will be given to us. We may ask for the Holy Spirit, and we may know with certainty that He will impart the divine nature to us. The Holy Spirit, the love of God, may be shed abroad in our hearts. It may be poured into our hearts. It is through seeking, it is through knocking, it is through asking that we receive the Holy Spirit. It is also through faith. John 7:37. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not yet been given, because Jesus had not yet been glorified. What a precious text this is. What a beautiful image this is of the child of God who has in his hunger and thirst come to Jesus Christ and has asked for the Holy Spirit, and Jesus in his faithfulness has fulfilled this promise, and the Holy Spirit has entered him, and his heart has become rivers of living water. And notice here, it is for those who believe. And back when Jesus spoke these words, this was still in between testaments. Jesus had not yet been glorified. He was going to pour out the Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Jesus had to die. He had to be buried. He had to rise on the third day. He had to be seated on the right hand of the Father in order that he might administer and distribute these gifts to mankind. Today, Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father. He is enthroned. He is a rich and great and mighty King, and He delights to give those who are thirsty. And so the question I have for us this morning is, are you thirsty for God? Do you thirst for these rivers of living water? Are you sick of living according to the sinful nature? Do you desire that God would fulfill this promise in your heart? The promise still stands in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, that upon hearing and believing what Christ has done for us, we are to repent. We are to be broken within our heart. We are to be smitten by the Holy Spirit. We are to turn from our evil ways and turn to God, and we are to be baptized, to be immersed into water, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And notice here this promise. And here is the answer to our question this morning. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If this is your desire this morning, I plead that you would come forward to put on the Lord Jesus in baptism. If there are any other prayers of restoration, of repentance, I hope also that you would come forward and allow for us to pray for you this morning as we stand and sing our invitational song.
Lost sheep are welcome here, and I'm available to you for counseling. Why don't you give me a call and let's talk about your soul? You might be thinking I've gone too far and I'm too vile for God to save me. The exact opposite is true. You would honor God by believing that Jesus is who he says he is, the mighty God, powerful and strong to save. He's able to save to the uttermost those who come to God by him. Let me assure you that if God can save me and change me, the greatest of sinners, he can do wonders with you. Call me and let's talk about your soul and the great and sure promises of everlasting life. Call me for personal counseling, for songbooks or tapes at 214-821-2123. That number again is 214-821-2123.
Now to prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples, said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it." Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this bread that represents the body of Christ. We pray that as we do this, it will be in a manner that is suitable to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this cup that represents the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to give you thanks for all the many blessings and to return a portion of that back to you. We pray this money can be used wisely as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. This program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ, 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226, USA. Visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. We're an all-volunteer congregation dedicated to preaching the gospel to the whole world and feeding the poor and homeless. The Churches of Christ are those local self-governing congregations found in Romans 16:16. We're neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old Bible-believing Christians, reaching the unchurched for Christ at this same time and station. So why don't you come into fellowship with us and have a church in the safety of your own home? Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. Just come to www.churchofchristpreaching.com. You don't need the approval of anyone to worship God through Jesus Christ. At home, you can sing, pray, listen to us, take the Lord's Supper, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor in your own local community anywhere in the world. Visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com for free downloads of a cappella singing, hundreds of videos, thousands of sermons, beginners and advanced written lessons for our church library. Please tell a friend about our website and broadcast time. We're the poorest church in Dallas, but with God, we've done so much for so long with so little, we're now qualified to do anything with nothing. Weekly, we feed about 2,000 meals to the poor and homeless. Our jail chaplain has baptized over 19,000 believers. We preach the gospel every day to all the world. We're the Main Street Church of Christ in Dallas, Texas. Check us out at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. Why don't you be a missionary and visit this congregation? Instead of India or Africa, you could visit us occasionally, go on a one-hour Bible missionary journey and visit us, and we visit the whole wide world. Tune in the same time and station and visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. Beautiful, isn't it? Sounds like a choir with a full orchestra. Well, it's just plain old congregational a cappella singing without musical accompaniment. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. This program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ, 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226, USA. Visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. We're an all-volunteer congregation dedicated to preaching the gospel to the whole world and feeding the poor and homeless. The Churches of Christ are those local self-governing congregations found in Romans 16:16. We're neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old Bible-believing Christians, reaching the unchurched for Christ at the same time and station. So why don't you come into fellowship with us and have a church in the safety of your own home? Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. Just come to www.churchofchristpreaching.com. You don't need the approval of anyone to worship God through Jesus Christ. At home, you can sing, pray, listen to us, take the Lord's Supper, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor in your own local community anywhere in the world. Visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com for free downloads of a cappella singing, hundreds of videos, thousands of sermons, beginners and advanced written lessons for a church library. Please tell a friend about our website and broadcast time. We're the poorest church in Dallas, but with God, we've done so much for so long with so little, we're now qualified to do anything with nothing. Weekly, we feed about 2,000 meals to the poor and homeless. Our jail chaplain has baptized over 19,000 believers. We preach the gospel every day to all the world. For the Main Street Church of Christ in Dallas, Texas, check us out at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. Why don't you be a missionary and visit this congregation? Instead of India or Africa, you could visit us occasionally, go on a one-hour Bible missionary journey and visit us, and we visit the whole wide world. Tune in the same time and station and visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com.